RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expresses disappointment related to red-handed operation by KPK. President Joko Widodo says Saracen is terrible and should be investigated thoroughly. LIPI and UNESCO optimizing policy research result related to disaster risk reduction. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo expressed his disappointment regarding the attitude of government officials who are committing corruption in performing their duties. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo related to red-handed operation conducted by the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, against the Director General of Sea Transportation, Antonius Tony Budiono, at the Ministry of Transportation more recently. After watching the photo exhibition of infrastructure development in the Monas, Central Jakarta on Sunday, President Joko Widodo again reminded all state officials, both at central and regional levels, not to practice corruption anymore. He said that corrupt behavior is related to weak integrity and morality of the perpetrators. The president views that the government will continue to make effort to address corruption in the government, either through the KPK's red-handed operation or operation of illegal fee or saber pungli.
It's very disappointing. It's very disappointing, and I need to remind all officials not to commit it again. I have repeatedly made improvement to the system, but it is also related to the integrity, morality of our officials. Let's see how many people have been already arrested, both in red-handed operation by KPK and saber pungli. They are not only tens, but already hundreds or maybe even thousands. But it's about people, isn't it? It's very disappointing.
As reported previously, the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, arrested Director General of Sea Transportation Antonius Tony Budiono in a red-handed operation. Tony is suspected of accepting bribes related to licensing and procurement of projects within the Directorate General of Sea Transportation at Ministry of Transportation. Related to this, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi has written to President Joko Widodo to apologize and appreciate the KPK. Minister Budi also expressed his support for effort to eradicate corruption in the government. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated that Saracen Group that has spread false information or hoaxes in cyberspace is a terrible group. He perceived that the existence of the group should be investigated to the roots by the police. Speaking after attending a photo exhibition of infrastructure development in the cross section of Monument National or Monas in Jakarta on Sunday afternoon, the president ordered the police to thoroughly investigate the group up to the party that support the group's existence. President Joko Widodo also said that the spread of false information is a phenomenon that occurs not only in Indonesia but also in various countries around the world. He added that social media used individually can cause divisions in community. Furthermore, the use of organized groups like Saracen might endanger the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia.
Semua negara mengalami ini karena keterbukaan media sosial. Semua negara mengalami.
All countries experience this. Due to the openness of social media, all countries do experience it. Using social media is an individual. Individuals are very damaging if the information is not true, lie, slander, and organized. This is horrible. Moreover, if they have accounts of thousands or hundreds of thousands, if they say positive things, convey optimism, invite people to build, invite people to do good, invite people to maintain politeness, even having millions of accounts is no problem for them. But if it is divisive, to spread the things that slanders, denounce others, harmful to the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. I have ordered the chief of police to thoroughly investigate not only Saracen but also those who order this, who pays. It should be investigated thoroughly.
Police revealed that there were a group of hate speech and hoax spreaders some time ago. The group calls itself Saracen and uploads hate speech content and Sara based on the order. According to the police, Saracen's group spread the content based on economic reasons. President Joko Widodo attended a photo exhibition of progress of Indonesia's infrastructure development and the longest infographic held by the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs in Monas, Central Java on Sunday afternoon. Accompanied by a number of ministers of the Working Cabinet, the President looked at photographs of infrastructure development in a number of areas on display. To the press, President Joko Widodo said that the photo exhibition is intended to inform the public about the development of infrastructure implemented in all regions in Indonesia. By showing to the public through the means of photos, the government intends to build optimism in the community toward the ongoing development process.
Ini menunjukkan bahwa pengerjaan infrastruktur di lapangan itu sudah ada yang hampir selesai, ada yang proses masih 30%, ada yang 60%.
This shows that the existing infrastructure work in the field is almost complete. Some are still 30%, some are 60%, some are 70%, and some are completed. These photographers' shots are the ones that we want to show. And there are a lot of pictures that I have not seen. More than half was on display. I think I've got it all. Half of what we have not seen. I have not seen some reservoirs, seaports, small airports and highway. I think by pointing out the progress of our infrastructure development, we want to generate optimism that progress is real and real on the field.
As known by the public, the current government of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla intensively built infrastructure throughout the territory of Indonesia. In 2017, there are 245 development projects as well as two development programs included in the National Strategic Project based on Presidential Regulation No. 58/2017. The strategic project has an investment value of more than 4,000 trillion rupiah, whose funding is derived from the state revenue and expenditure budget of state-owned enterprises and regional governments, as well as the participation of private parties. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, in cooperation with the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, hold a workshop on applying analytical framework for inclusive policy design at Widya Graha Room, LIPI, Jakarta on Monday, August 28. This activity is aimed at optimizing the result of research related to disaster risk reduction and social protection so that it can be used as a foundation for the formulation of public policies inclusively, including vulnerable groups, disability, and poor people. Head of LIPI Population Research Center, Sri Sunarti, on the sidelines of the workshop, said, that Indonesia is very vulnerable both geologically and geographically to natural disasters. They are at risk of catastrophic disasters, including residents living on the coast. Sri Sunarti also said the result research developed by LIPI is expected to be applied to the Indonesian government to reduce the risk of disaster. The event was also attended by UNESCO Representative Office in Jakarta, Irakli Kodali, researcher of LIPI population, Denny Hidayati, academician and representative of ministry and related institutions. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati warned on Sunday, August 27, politicians against abusing the annual funding for political parties, which had been significantly increased by the government. Sri Mulyani said in her speech that the state budget is not for private gain, not to enrich oneself. The ideal purpose is to meet the national goals. She said the party funding was designed to improve the capacity of political parties in carrying out their role as the people's political representation. The government has increased funding for political parties from 108 rupiah to 1,000 rupiah per valid vote per year. The political party law stipulates that besides state funds, the financial sources of party funding also include members' dues and legal donations from private agencies. Indonesian Home Ministry said more money for political parties could help politicians carry out programs in a more accountable way. Anti-graft activists and officials said the increase should be followed with effort to improve political parties' accountability. The last item, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, has achieved great things in the field of politics and economy. Minister Retno Marsudi said on Sunday, August 27, in the closing of the ASEAN Parade in Jakarta, that ASEAN achievement is extraordinary because it has proven itself to be capable of creating a peaceful and stable region and economic benefits. Minister Retno Marsudi said that in a peaceful condition, ASEAN member states can build their economy. She added that statistics shows that ASEAN economy above the world average. Data from the Asian Development Bank, ADB, showed that Southeast Asia's economic growth is estimated at 4.8% in 2017 and 5% in 2018. Malaysia, the Philippines, and Singapore are said to be the main contributor to the growth, but the overall figure is hampered by Brunei's economy, which only grew by 1% this year. Nonetheless, ADB predicts that demand from domestic sectors, particularly consumption and investment, will boost economic growth in the region. Minister Retno Marsudi also said that cooperation between ASEAN and other countries have contributed positively to its economy. Listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. President Joko Widodo expresses disappointment related to red-handed operation by KPK. President Joko Widodo says Saracen is terrible and should be investigated thoroughly. LIPI and UNESCO optimizing policy research result related to disaster risk reduction. That was the news.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our daily program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesian Beware of Hate Speech Sites. Indonesian cyberspace has recently been sought by a report of the Indonesian police personnel who have succeeded in revealing Saracen, a syndicate allegedly spread the hate speech in social media. Based on police investigation by Digital Forensic Search, Saracen, which spread provocation related content of ethnic, religion, race, and intergroup or locally called Sara in social media, has 2,000 social media accounts which were later developed into 800,000 accounts used to spread hate content. Saracen is a syndicate which spread provocation content related to tribe, religion, race, and intergroups or SARA in social media. The Indonesian police have arrested three people suspected to manage Saracen content. Through social media like Facebook and Twitter, Saracen spread content containing hate speech. In fact, Saracen also managed a special news site to satisfy its customers. The police confirmed that it also managed content related to tribe, religion, race, and intergroups to satisfy a particular party. Saracen charged tens of millions for each content it produced and distributed. The Indonesian police revealed that Saracen syndicate has been running hate speech business through various social media accounts and pages in cyberspace since November 2015, including spreading false news or hoax during Jakarta regional head election. Saracen members are adept at creating fake, anonymous, and semi-anonymous to real accounts and can recover accounts that had been blocked in organized way. Saracen is different from other accounts such as Instagram, for example, which has made hate speech accounts since a long time. Saracen tries to friend any fan and gives anonymous information constantly so that the public consider it a truth. The current political condition in Indonesia has been said to be the cause of increasing hate spreading business in cyberspace known as e-hate. The heated up political situation ahead of the presidential election, although it will be held in 2019, can already be felt from now with the support of supporting several political parties against certain candidates. The perpetrators of hate business make profit for propagating through hoaxes that are continuously produced by others. They disseminate content that denounces any religious, racial, and political views as opposed to the subscriber. Hate content spreading syndicate like Saracen have enormous damage to the unity of the country. So no wonder if the government through the Indonesian National Police move quickly to reveal and capture the perpetrators involved in this e-hate business. Three Saracen suspects will be charged under the law on electronic information and transaction for hate speech with defamation. However, it is possible that the perpetrators will also be sued by other law provisions. Amid the current flow of information, the public should be wiser in filtering and disseminating information and always make a confirmation of the spreading issues. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again. I'm Hirman Rahmana in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. While we start for an event on August 28, 1963, when Martin Luther King delivered his famous speech, I Have a Dream. I Have a Dream is a 17-minute speech by Martin Luther King, which contains a call for racial equality and an end to discrimination. His speech from Lincoln Memorial Theater in the middle of parade in Washington for vote and freedom on 28 August 1963 was a decisive moment in the history of the American civil rights movement. Martin Luther King delivered before then 200,000 supporters of civil rights. The speech was ranked in the 20th century most famous speech in the United States, according to an opinion poll of the 1999 Oration Scholar. The next event was in 1990, when Iraq announced Kuwait as the 19th province of Iraq. The invasion of Kuwait on 2nd of August 1990 was a two-day operation conducted by Iraq against the neighboring state of Kuwait, which resulted in the seven-month-long Iraqi occupation of Kuwait. This invasion and Iraq's subsequent refusal to withdraw from Kuwait by a deadline mandated by the United Nations led to military intervention by United Nations authorized coalition of forces led by United States. These events came to be known as the First Gulf War and resulted in expansion of Iraqi forces from Kuwait and Iraqi setting 600 Kuwaiti oil wells for on fire during the retreat. In early 1990, Iraq was accusing Kuwait of stealing Iraqi petroleum through sand drilling, although some Iraqi sources indicated Saddam Hussein's decision to attack Kuwait was made a few months before the actual invasion. Some feel there were several reasons for Iraqi move, including Iraq's inability to pay more than $40 billion US dollars that have been borrowed to finance the Iran-Iraq war, and with the production of large amount of petroleum, which kept revenues down from Iraq. The invasion started on 2 August 1990, and within 2 days, most of the Kuwait armed forces were early overrun by Iraqi Republican Guard or fell back to neighboring Saudi Arabia and Bahrain. The state of Kuwait was annexed, and Saddam Hussein announced a few days later, on August 28, that it was the 19th province of Iraq. And the last event was in 1990, when spacecraft Galileo discovered the moon around the asteroids. The American Galileo spacecraft in the trip to planet Jupiter discovered a moon of an asteroid. This discovery is phenomenal because it is rare for an asteroid to have a moon or satellite. The asteroid dimension of about 58 kilometers long and approximately 23 kilometers wide has a small satellite about 1 kilometer in diameter and orbit about 100 kilometers from his surface. Then is pedigreed to named Dactyl for the moon. It is named of Greek god who lived in the Mount Ida. Well, listener, that was today's history, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed his disappointment regarding the attitude of government officials who are committing corruption in performing their duties. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo related to red-handed operation conducted by the Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) against the Director General of Sea Transportation, Antonius Tony Budiono, at Ministry of Transportation recently. Indonesian President Joko Widodo stated that Saracen Group that has spread false information or hoaxes in cyberspace is a terrible group. He perceived that the existence of the group should be investigated to the roots by the police. Speaking after attending a photo exhibition of infrastructure development in the cross-section of Monument National, Monas, in Jakarta on Sunday afternoon, the president ordered the police to thoroughly investigate the group up to the party that support the group's existence. President Joko Widodo attended a photo exhibition of progress of Indonesia's infrastructure development and the longest infographic held by the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs in Monas, Central Jakarta, Sunday afternoon. To the press, President Joko Widodo said that the photo exhibition is intended to inform the public about the development of infrastructure implemented in all regions in Indonesia. Kencana Pradipa Dance Group, which consists of students of the Faculty of Psychology, University of Indonesia, won the final Grand Prix of the 2017 World Championship of Folklore in Nasebar, Bulgaria. The group had previously won in two different categories, namely folklore ensembles and instrumental folklore. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, in cooperation with the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, holds a workshop on applying analytical framework for inclusive policy design at Widya Graha Room, LIPI, Jakarta on Monday, August 28. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati warned on Sunday, August 27, politicians against abusing the annual funding for political parties, which had been significantly increased by the government. Sri Mulyani said in her speech that the state budget is not for private gain, not to enrich oneself. The last item, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, has achieved great things in the field of politics and economy. Minister Retno Marsudi said on Sunday, in the closing of the ASEAN Parade in Jakarta, that ASEAN achievement is extraordinary because it has proven itself to be capable of creating a peaceful and stable region and economic benefits. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, we meet again in Indonesian Wonder. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to Rana Lake in Maluku. So stay tuned. Listeners, Buru Island is the second biggest island in Maluku Province after Seram Island. There are several rivers in Buru Island, such as Wai Apu in the north and Wai Mala in the south. The island is famous for its eucalyptus oil. Besides the rivers, Buru Island also has a beautiful lake, which is served as the leading tourist destination, named Rana Lake. Rana Lake is the biggest lake in Maluku Province, and it is suitable for tourists who like to adventure in wild nature. Listeners, Rana Lake is located in the hinterland of Buru Island, approximately 63 kilometers and the height of 700 meters above sea level. You can access the trip through two different choice paths. First is the first path through Wam Lana Village, Air Buaya District, which is located approximately 80 kilometers from Nam Lea downtown, the capital city of Northeast Buru District. Wam Lana Village can be reached by car for 1.5 hours. Furthermore, by riding a car provided by Gema Kehutan Lestari, you begin the adventures to Lake Rana for approximately 43 kilometers. During the trip, you can enjoy the beautiful panorama. You can find various kinds of plants, and you will pass through several villages inhabited by indigenous people of Buru Island. Once you have arrived, you will be welcomed with sawat dance as welcome sign for the guests. Listeners, the second path can be passed through Tifu Village. From Namlea, you can ride the speedboat to Tifu Village, Lake Sula District, for around 5 hours. Then from Tifu Village, you can go by truck to Waielo Village, which is about 40 kilometers. Afterwards, you can only walk to Rana Lake for approximately 6 hours. During this trip, you can pass through the villages of indigenous people of Buru Island. Once you have arrived in Rana Lake, you can travel by boat and enjoy the beauty of its lake. If you want to wander around Rana Lake, the local people are ready to accompany you traveling until you are satisfied, only at the cost of 100,000 rupiah. You can also visit the villages around the lake. They are Wamamboli, Kaktuan, Erdava, Waru Jawa, Waimite, Wagrahi, and Waireman village. In those villages, you can enjoy local cuisine, namely various kinds of yams with grilled fish and cholo cholo, a type of hot and spicy condiment or sambal, a typical of Maluku. Listeners, Rana Lake has beautiful scenery as well as Rana tribe who still live in their traditional culture. The lake is considered a sacred place by Buru Island people. Before the religions came to Buru Island, the indigenous people already had belief to their ancestors. During to the belief, their ancestors we are believed as gods, live in Rana Lake and Dead Mount. Therefore, Rana Lake and Dead Mount are the reincarnation of the ancestors. The worship to the ancestors also increase the worship to the lake and the mount. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Rana Lake from Maluku. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is acara lamaran, or in English, the marriage proposal. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Acara lamaran. Acara lamaran, in English, the marriage proposal. Menemani. Menemani, in English, to accompany. Kemana. Kemana, in English, where. Minggu depan. Minggu depan, in English, next week. Anak laki-laki. Anak laki-laki, in English, son. Memesan. Memesan, in English, to order. Keperluan. Keperluan, in English, necessity. Membawa. Membawa, in English, to bring. Kue. Kue, in English, cake. Buah. Buah, in English, fruit. Cincin.
cincin in English ring. Makanan tradisional. Makanan tradisional in English traditional food. Berasal dari. Berasal dari in English to come from. Sumatera Barat. Sumatera Barat in English West Sumatra. Keluarga. Keluarga in English family. Berkenalan. Berkenalan in English be acquainted. Perempuan. Perempuan in English woman. Menjawab. Menjawab in English to answer. Menentukan. Menentukan in English to decide. Hari pernikahan. Hari pernikahan in English wedding day. Makan bersama. Makan bersama in English eating together. Ikut. Ikut in English to follow. Sahabat. Sahabat in English close friend. Next is a conversation on acara lamaran, or in English, the marriage proposal. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Ika and Erna at the office. Ika: Erna, bisakah pulang kantor kamu menemani saya? Erna: Bisakah pulang kantor kamu menemani saya? In English: Erna: Can you accompany me after the office break? Erna: Kamu mau kemana? Kamu mau kemana? In English: Where are you going? Ika: Minggu depan anak saya mau mengadakan acara lamaran. Minggu depan anak saya mau mengadakan acara lamaran. In English: I want to hold a marriage proposal for my son next week. I want to hold a marriage proposal for my son next week. Saya mau memesan keperluan acara lamaran. Saya mau memesan keperluan acara lamaran. In English: I want to order some things for the proposal's necessity. Erna: Apa yang harus dibawa? Apa saja yang harus dibawa? In English: Whatever should be brought. Ika: Pada waktu acara lamaran, biasanya pihak laki-laki hanya membawa kue, buah, dan cincin. Pada waktu acara lamaran, biasanya pihak laki-laki hanya membawa kue, buah, dan cincin. In English: Usually for the marriage proposal, the groom's side only brings cakes, fruits, and a couple of rings. Tapi karena saya berasal dari Sumatera Barat, saya juga membawa makanan tradisional, yaitu rendang. Tapi karena saya berasal dari Sumatera Barat, saya juga membawa makanan tradisional, yaitu rendang. In English: Because I come from West Sumatra, I also want to bring rendang, the traditional food of the region. Erna: Apa saja yang dilakukan pada waktu lamaran? Apa saja yang dilakukan pada waktu lamaran? In English: What are usually done at the proposal? Ika: Biasanya masing-masing keluarga akan berkenalan. Biasanya masing-masing keluarga akan berkenalan. In English: Usually each family will get acquainted. Kemudian melamar. Kemudian melamar. In English: Then propose for marriage. Pihak perempuan menjawab lamaran. Pihak perempuan menjawab lamaran. In English: The bride's family then answers the proposal. Kemudian menentukan hari pernikahan. Kemudian menentukan hari pernikahan. In English: After that, determining the day of marriage. Setelah itu makan bersama. Setelah itu makan bersama. In English: Finally, eating together. Erna: Pada waktu acara lamaran, saya boleh ikut ya? Pada waktu acara lamaran, saya boleh ikut ya? In English: May I attend the proposal day? Ika: Tentu saja kamu kan sahabat saya. Tentu saja kamu kan sahabat saya. In English, of course, you are my close friend. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back. In the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian songs. In today's edition, we will present you Kroncong songs which brought by Didi Prasetyo or better known as Didi Kempot. To open our segment for today, let's listen to a Kroncong song entitled Apa Salah dan Dosaku by Didi Kempot. Listener, Apa Salah dan Dosaku was a song with pop gentry popularized by the Lovett Band in 1970s and brought back by Didi Kempot in Kroncong Gentry. It tells a man who begs to God for guidance to gain happiness because of the trials of life alternately. Didi Kempot was born in Surakarta, Central Java on December 31, 1966. Although he dedicated a lot of Kroncong songs, Didi better known as a Campur Sari singer. The Campur Sari, which has Javanese style, makes Didi Kempot not only known in Indonesia, but also in Suriname. Well, listener, let's listen to the coming song entitled Sampul Surat. Unlike the song Apa Salah dan Dosaku, the song Sampul Surat is the original Kroncong, which has been also performed by other Indonesian Kroncong singers. Talking about Didi, who always performed with a typical Javanese clothes, he is a figure who is very concerned about Indonesian culture. It can be seen when he asked the government patented very diverse Indonesian culture. Didi also suggested to music artists to promote or introduce the culture, culinary or interesting place in Indonesia through the song lyrics. As we know, Didi Kempot brings some songs that introduce a particular region or place in Indonesia. Besides, as an entertainment, the song can also increase knowledge for art lovers, especially music lovers. To conclude today's music corner, let's listen to the last two Keroncong songs entitled Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan and Mengapa Harus Jumpa, sung by Didi Kempot. Happy listening and see you in the music corner's next edition. Bye for now.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.